Would you find the book of 2 Corinthians? The book of 2 Corinthians. Let's start in chapter number 8. If you also wanted to find the book of Philippians, which is back in the prison epistles there, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you wanted to find that book, we will visit that as well this evening. Philippians chapter probably 4. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. For those of you that were not here this morning, we set aside today to talk about the responsibility of God's people when it comes to the area or the arena of biblical stewardship. I usually do set aside 2 Sundays a year in the month of January, one to preach a message on stewardship, and next Sunday morning to preach a message on tithing. Now, I do feel, and I mean this in the most gracious way, I really feel preaching these messages that I am preaching to the choir a little bit. You know that vernacular, or you know that saying there, that our church is a tithing church. Our people tithe, you tithe, we give. I know you do. We're blessed by that. I love hearing the stories personally, the testimonies personally, and I think that God's power is on our church. And one of the great reasons is because we're obedient when it comes to the area of tithing. I feel that way in the area of stewardship. I really believe that for the most part, if not in every part, that the people of Plantation Baptist Church understand and want to be stewards of what God has entrusted us with. That being said, I still preach these messages because I believe they're good for review. And then we have so many new people that come, and it's an opportunity to disciple them as well. And so pray for me. Pray next Sunday as I preach that message. It probably will again hit that Sunday night in the area of tithing. I announce it a Sunday before, so if they don't want to show up, they don't have to show up. But I do take mental notes as to who's here and who's not. Stewardship. What is a steward? What is the biblical responsibility of stewardship? I hope and pray that you understand that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are what God would call to be a steward of what God has entrusted you with. We know that the word steward appears in 1 Corinthians 4. We understand that a steward is a manager or an administrator of someone else's resources. He is not the owner of resources. He possesses no ownership. He possesses no rights to those or authority to those resources outside of what is submitted to him. And so it carries with the idea of two words, the word trust and the word manage. And so you're looking at words that imply trust and implies management. Everything we have comes to us from God, right? And we better understand that. And we will be responsible. And one day we will stand before the Lord and we will have to give an account as to the faithfulness that we were in the area of stewardship. And so God has entrusted to us a lot. Most people allow the devil to eat their lunch when it comes to the area of stewardship. They allow the devil to rob them from the joy of being a steward by so much just focusing on what they have to give up, or a money aspect. I pray that you do not let that happen. For truly, it is a delight to be used for God's glory in stewarding his resources. And so we looked at the spirit of stewardship this morning, and I'm going to continue that this evening. We went earlier today to Mark chapter 12, and we went to the certain poor widow woman, and we saw within her what I believe to be the necessary foundation for the spirit of stewardship. We watched a lady giving in the court of women in those 13 boxes. She had 2 mites, and she placed in her 2 mites, which were not a penniless offering. Jesus said that it was the totality of her life, which means that she walked into that court that day solely and for the purpose to present herself or commit herself or to surrender herself, her total living to the Lord Jesus. We used a few examples. She was a widow woman, and a husband is to secure his wife. A husband in a marriage pictures Christ. The wife pictures the church. And so that husband is to be the house band and the security and the leader for his wife. And she was without that. And so she came and she symbolically placed her trust and faith in her keeping in the Lord Jesus. And she said, I'm not just going to give you an offering. I'm going to give you all my life. Whether I live or die this week depends upon whether or not you care for me. Now, I do believe she had a job. I think she earned that money. I think she paid her bills. God wants you to pay your bills. I think she understood all of that. But she came to that to as a foundation, put herself in a commitment position at the mercy and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was easy for her to give her money because she had already given her heart. Now listen, stewardship, the spirit of stewardship is found in our heart. And it won't work, or it'll frustrate you if you don't understand and have your heart totally committed or surrendered to the Lord. If I don't have all of my trust in Him, she saw Him as her Savior, as her security, as her hope. She deposited her living with Him. She came to Him and said, listen, you're all I have. And the songwriter said, when you come to the place where I'm all you have, you'll find I'm all you need. So as a believer in Christ, I'm putting you to making a decision today. Who do you trust for your survival? See, it's key in the spirit of stewardship who I trust in my survival. If I trust in myself, I'm going to be tremendously insecure. All the flesh can do is offer us insecurity. All the flesh can do is offer us an insecure position. If I trust in my own resources, if I trust in my own abilities, if I trust in my own banking, if I trust in my own job, if I trust in my own business, if I trust in all of these. You see, if we're not careful sometimes as believers, we become owners, and we kind of think we're the owners of all that we have and not the stewards of all that we have. And so since we think we're the owners, we think we have to be the provider, but really and truthfully, we're inept at that. And so when I realize that God is the provider, Jesus is the source of all that I have, and see Him as the foundation and victory that I have, then it's easy for me to commit my heart to Him. Now, we said that's the foundation for the spirit of stewardship. Once your heart has been committed to Christ, then all of your resources follow. By the way, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something. Please go there. I want you to see this verse. I know I wasn't going to do that, but let me just give you a great verse here for the Lord. Everybody turn. Romans chapter 8. Lord, let me get that verse. Yes. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 31. Romans 8, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now watch this thought that once we've committed our heart, then our resources follow. See that the same thing's true about God. Look at verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Okay, there was the exposure of God's heart and the delivering of his son. That was God depositing his heart in the earth. That was God putting his heart on display in the person of the Lord Jesus. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us? What's the word say, Christ? All things. So even God committed his heart in the Lord Jesus, and he said, now that I've given you my son, all of my resources follow that. I'll prove that later to you in the book of Philippians. Same thing with the idea of stewardship. It's not a money problem. It's not a things problem. It's not a time problem. It's a heart issue. And once I nail down that, yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'm also depositing and committing my life and my heart and my survival to Him, and He will care for me, then everything else follows. I see Him as the owner, and now I am the steward. And so, okay, you have my heart, Lord. So now you want some time? Well, here, time will come. How much time do you need? I've got this much time. What do you need? You need a call? Okay, here you go. And the Lord taps us and says, well, I need a gift for a benevolence. Okay, so here's that. So once God has our heart, all of our resources follow. Do you follow me? Amen or oh me? All right, imperative. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 proves my point even deeper. And you see this great church here in Macedonia, known for the outstanding stewards they were of the resources of God, they had the same spirit of stewardship that you found in the certain poor widow woman. Pick up with verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, speaking to the church at Corinth, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We know those churches. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So this little poor church was given this offering for the saints that were needed. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their, what's the words? Own selves, or gave their heart, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So before their resources, or before they were able to commit their resources, or before they were stewards of the resources that God had, first thing they did was they gave themselves. We will never, never, never be proper stewards if we don't first give ourselves. And so they gave of themselves. Now, what happens when I give my heart in a commitment letter, and when I see the Lord Jesus as the superiority of my existence, when I see him as the owner of all things, and I see him as entrusting me with his resources, and I surrender to that position and say, now God, whatever you'd have me to do, I will do. What takes place? Well, if you notice in verse number 4, things begin to happen. What begins to happen? I begin to think like the Lord. Things that are important to the Lord become important to me. Look at verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, that was a financial gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, is the church important to the Lord Jesus? Amen or oh me? Yes, it is. And so here is this church. They gave their selves to the Lord. Now the things that are important to God become important to us. And the things that are important to God, they scale in importance. And the things that are not important to the Lord begin to decrease in our mindset. So there was a time when I wanted to have whatever. There was a time when I lived life for earthly things, let's just say earthly things, whatever they be, maybe, possessions or things. There was a time when I was geared for that, but when I understand who Jesus Christ is and I understand what he is to me and what he wants for me, then as I grow closer to him, those things begin to become less important, and what's important to him becomes important to me. Statement for you. Most of God's people don't give as much to Christ as to other things simply because we usually do not think them to be as important. That's interesting. So as I grow closer in the Lord and grow closer to him, the things that are important to him begin to become important to me. Can you imagine? I bet there was a time in your life when you never dreamed you'd give a love offering for missionaries. Now we do. As we grow in those things, we never thought we would do this or that, but the things of God become important. And the things of God have to become important to us if we're going to be good stewards, because we are in charge of releasing his resources. Now look at verse number 2. Look at the depth of how important this became. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep what class? Their poverty. In their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So they were getting excited about the things of God. And even though they didn't have much, they realized that what they did have belonged to who? God. And so they took what they had and just worked from what they had. And so they had given themselves to the Lord. They had poverty resources, but the things of God were important to them. And the Spirit of God was leading them. And so their poverty didn't hold them back. And instead, their liberality abounded forward. That's being a steward of what God has entrusted you with. Look at verse number 3. He says, man did it catch fire, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so as I understand this spirit of stewardship, and I understand that it begins with a love for the Lord Jesus and see him as the ultimate provider in my life. And as I grow closer to him, his things become that are important to him become important to me. And so then I begin to release those resources toward things that are important to him. And then I'm taking them away from the unimportance and I'm beginning to fasten them where they are. Now, this doesn't just mean money. This could mean time. This could mean talent. I mean, yeah, I think that coming to church is important, and so do you. That's why you're here. But not everybody in our church does, or they'd be here tonight, or they'd come on Wednesday nights. And so some of them are investing their time in unimportant things. And we try to feel better by calling it family time. I would never let your pastor help you. Please don't insult the Lord by substituting family time for the Lord's time. If we want to have family time, let's do it some other time. But the Lord's time is the Lord's time. Yeah. So we pay a price for that. So I begin to think, oh God, whether I live or die is by you. You're my great provider. And as I grow in you, oh, you love lost people. You love missions. You love the thing. And I got you entrusted me with this here. We need to put this over here, and we need to put this over here. And I don't have very much, preacher. It don't matter what you have. I got to put this over here. And they were getting excited about it. By the way, this church understood, go to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be almost done here. This church understood something that I think all of us need to understand and be confronted with, especially in our Christian walk. Not only did this commitment of their heart lead to seeing things that were important, but it brought a great concern to them. I would like to use this word obligation. Obligation. Say that word with me. Obligation. Now open your eyes and say that word. All of you that are asleep, look me in my four eyeballs. I'm trying. You're killing me. I'm speaking so fast, I can't even keep up with my thoughts. And you're... You're killing me. You're just killing me. I'm about ready to close up. I don't blame you. I know you're tired. All right, man, that hurt. I'm glad Dave's here. All right. Okay. The Bible teaches that we are to be stewards. My friend, stewardship is an obligation on our part. It's an obligation. We do not have a right to ignore it. We don't have a right to ignore it. I'll prove it to you. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and let's go with verse number 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14. This is Paul communicating with these same churches at Macedonia. This is Paul after they had ministered to him over and over and over and over again. Now look, notwithstanding, he's talking to this church, ye have well done. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. That means they sent him money as a missionary, and Paul said, you did well. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but who, class? Ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. These people, understanding the spirit of stewardship, committing their lives to Christ first, committing themselves first, recognition of who he is, that opened the idea of understanding that he was the owner of all things and entrusted me as a steward. These were his resources. As I begin to grow in him and the things that he cared about, I begin to care about, and they begin to release those things. They didn't just do it once in a while. They did it as an obligation over and over and over and over. They kept sending to the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we get a little bit frustrated because it seems like we're always in the opportunity to give or always an opportunity to be a steward, but that's our obligation. That's our responsibility. And by the way, it's a great joy to be able to do that. I want to show you something that I think you need to know. Hold your hand here. I'm coming back to Philippians, but I need to make one point back over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, go there, because if you don't, you might as well have not come tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Stewardship is our what class? Obligation. I want to show you God's responsibility. I think it is imperative that you know what God is responsible for in this area of stewardship, or you'll quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's writing here again. Look at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at verse number 8. You ought to underline this verse. Man, is it important. And God is able to make all, say that word, grace, abound toward you, that ye always, having all, what's that word? Sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, now watch this. Pastor, how do I know when I'm supposed to steward God's resources? This is vitally important, because here's where most people miss the boat. I'm not up here, you know me, we're not up here pleading for money and doing all of this. I'm not trying to put pressure on you. Here's where stewardship comes into play with me and with you. When God touches my heart to release his resources, I want for you to be willing to act upon the leadership of the Spirit of God. That's huge. See, where the pastor crosses the line is where I say, just give it all, and do all this. No. I won't have God's power. I'm not God. My responsibility is to preach you to a position where you recognize the pull and the tenderness of the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God says, Tom, I need more time in this area. Tom, I need money here. Tom, I need you to do this here. When the Spirit of God leads me, then I respond to release his resources. Does anybody here work with purchase orders? Yeah. What's a purchase order? The purchase order comes down and it tells the bank to release the money to do this. Stewardship is not you feeling guilty. Stewardship is you responding to the leadership of the Spirit of God. It's huge. That's huge. But you know what that does? That keeps you in a cheerful giving position. Now, God's responsibility, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, is to make sure that you are always sufficient to give what he asks. I love that. I'm going to say that again. It is God's responsibility to make sure that I always have the sufficiency to give what he asks. What does that mean? That means that if God touches me to give, I can afford to give. I can. Pastor, God told me to give $10, but I can't afford to give $10. Yes, you can, because if God tells you to do it, God will provide it for you. And so God said, I will make all grace abound toward you, that you will be sufficient in all things unto every good work. So when the Lord says, release my resource, he's got resource there for me to release. I get so afraid. I'm thinking, oh man, no, I don't have enough resource. Yes, you do, Tom. It's my resource. You've got it right there. But God, if I release that resource, I'm not going to be able to do. Now you got to go to Philippians chapter 4 and look here how this plays into connection, and we'll go home. Don't miss Philippians chapter 4. There would have been no reason for you to come tonight if you missed chapter 4, verse 19. Paul, writing to this church, says that my God shall supply all your need according to his poverty up in heaven, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, here's how stewardship works. I am what I am by the grace of God. You save me, you redeem me, you cleanse me. You are my Savior, my keeper, my Lord, my security, my hope. I surrender my life to you. Whatever you want from me, God, I want to serve you. God entrusts me with resources. These are not mine. I don't own my home. I don't own my car. I don't own my bank account. I don't own my children. I don't own anything. You own it all. Now, God, what do you want me to do? That's important to you over there, isn't it? Missions, yeah. Tom, I want you to release a little of your resources, release my resources over there to missions. Lord, if I release those resources, you know we got that light bill coming up. I know, Tom, I know. I can pay that light bill. I know you can, Lord. So here you go. Here's your resources. And so I give those resources. You know, Tom, I need a little bit of time from you because one of the shut-ins needs you to go over there and have prayer with them. But God, if I do that, I don't have the time to do all that. No, Tom, I made 24 hours in a day. I own time. I can give you time. So release some of my time and go over there and do, okay, Lord. And so as the Lord leads in my heart, I'm releasing his resources. And the whole time I'm releasing his resources, he's refilling my supply for sufficiency. And then when I come up to a need, he said, you know what? Let me get this one. I'm going to pull out of the bank of heaven, and I'm going to meet your need for my glory. That is stewardship. That's stewardship. That's stewardship. Now, why you would want to hold on and not respond to what the Lord calls us to do is to miss out on God meeting our need and God using us for his glory. If we would learn to respond to the leadership of the Spirit of God, knowing that he'll put that sufficiency there and then he'll meet that need. That's what I was trying to explain this morning with that illustration for Beverly. She offered her resource, and God turned around and met her need. I love him for that. I love him for that. That's the spirit of stewardship. Let's pray. Let's go home.